Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Shari Chodesh Tov to everybody. Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, of course. Hodel Hashem Ki Tov Ki Yom Chasto. We said it this morning in Hallel. We're going to say it tomorrow morning. We spoke about that either last week or 2 weeks ago. Ki Yom Chasto. And we are learning Lilui Nishmas and the Zeicha Nishmas Miriam Frel, Miriam Baschai Mitzchak, Allah HaHashal, Mirashama, Shehaven Aliyah, in the continuous Aliyah in the merit of our Torah, Shabbi, and Avichai Latova on behalf of our whole family. Welcome, Revitzin. Okay, we're on page 119. Okay. The forms of prayer and its real essence. So again, we're going through the section dealing with tefillah in these chapters. Everyone has a sefer? Okay. The highest state of tefillah is pour out your heart as water in the presence of Hashem. Apropos for introduction to Chodesh Tammuz, this is a pasuk from Eicha. And Megillas Eicha, Yerushalayim herself cries over Churban Beis HaMikdash. In the previous chapter, we discussed tefillah. We explained it is not merely a single detail of our avoda, one aspect of our avoda, social dvarim ha'olam omeda, la Torah So it stands on those who are osik b'divrei Torah. It stands on those who are osik in gemilas chasadim. And of course, the world is upheld on avoda. Avoda today, ezahi avoda she believe, have omer zohi tefillah. In fact, we find in the Svarim HaKadoshim, in the holy books, that just as Torah is equal to all the 613 mitzvahs, Talmud Torah keneged kulam, we say that every morning in Berkas HaShachar, just as Torah is keneged kulam, so too is tefillah. This means that each of the 613 mitzvahs and each aspect of our avoda, of our divine service, must be preceded by tefillah. So I don't know if anybody's been trying to do this, but I'll tell you that I have been trying to do this, that when you, I am osik in a mitzvah, so to speak, then add a little bit of tefillah, add a short tefillah into that mitzvah that we are doing. Welcome, okay? So that everything that we do should be preceded by some form of tefillah. How should the tefillah be expressed? Not always are you in front of a sitter, not always is the shacharis mincha in arvis, not always are you reading the structured format of prayer, but sometimes it's just coming in your own words. We are informed of one form of tefillah in the pasuk. A poor man speaks with supplication. It's a pasuk from Mishnah. Tachanunim yedaber rash. Rash is a poor man, morishu ma'ashir. A poor man speaks with supplication. So I found a beautiful quote from Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks. And Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks says, the sitter is the book of Jewish faith. The sitter is the book of Amunah. There is tefillah, and he distinguishes between tefillah and seder ha-tefillah. And he says they're not the same thing. Tefillah is the act of prayer. Seder ha-tefillah is the order of prayer. And he says these are two very different things. We tend to use these terms interchangeably, that tefillah and seder ha-tefillah are the same thing. And in fact, they're two very different things. The first aspect is tefillah. We can all relate to prayer in its most primal sense. We turn to God in high emotion. When do we turn to Ribono Shel Olam? Fear, joy, guilt, regret, hope, anxiety, thanksgiving. I will repeat it. The whole spectrum of human emotion. When we're afraid, what do we do? Chalil, we should never know. We turn to Hashem. In a time of simcha, what do? We turn to Hashem. Guilt and regret. We're coming up to the Yamim Nora, the time of charata, the regret over our sins. Anxiety, hope, thanksgiving, todah. We said, hodul Hashem. Something deep within us feels moved to speak to the soul of the universe, soul, capital S. Something deep within us feels moved to speak to the soul of the universe, the author of being, the everlasting arms that hold us in their embrace. And such were the prayers of our ancestors in faith. Yaakov, when he feared his encounter with Esav, he davened. The Bnei Yisrael, as they crossed Kriyas Yamsuf, they prayed. Moshe begging God to forgive the people. Last week we spoke about both Chet Ha'egel and Chet Ha'Meragim. Chana pleading for a child. These are themes that come up not only daily, but also in the Yamim Noraim. Rambam sees this kind of spontaneous expression as the historic and halachic basis for prayer. There is no set time. There is no set text. The spontaneous expression. Shifchi kamayim libech. When you're crying, nochach panei Hashem, when you pour out your heart like water, there's no set time. There's no set text. It can be long. Moshe prayed for 40 days and 40 nights. He actually prayed for multiple sets of 40 days and 40 nights. It can be short. Moshe davened for his sister. We just come off of Belozcha. How many words was that? Kel na refa na la. 5 words. Please, God, heal her now. Prayer in this sense is a single signal of transcendence. It's an instinct. And tefillah tells us we're not alone in a tragically configured universe. We're not alone in a universe that might seem indifference to our existence. There's someone there. There's someone we cannot necessarily imagine, but someone who we can speak to, the single most important word. By the way, Rav Mordechai Gifter, Zatzal, says that the most important word is the same as Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks. So you have two people, probably coming from two totally different Hashkafic bases, who say the most important word in the entire lexicon of prayer. Who remembers? We quoted Rav Gifter before in this class. Rav Mordechai Gifter, Zatzal, says the most important word in bracha, in any bracha. Anyone remember? Atah. Very nice. Atah. The single most important word in the entire lexicon of prayer is Atah, which means you, which indicates you feel so close to Hashem. You're talking to Him like, you are right here with me, Hashem. Mm. King David, David Melech Yisrael, to this day, Sefer Tehillim is its most powerful expression. Listen to this line. Prayer is the redemption of solitude. Prayer, seen in this light, tefillah is the redemption of solitude. And that is not, says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, Seder HaTefillah. That is tefillah. Seder HaTefillah is a fixed time, fixed word, fixed gesture. Fixed time has to be before Zman Kriya Shema. Fixed word, you open up the Seder by Mincha and you say, Ashrei, Amida, and Aleinu. Fixed gesture, when do you bow? You can't bow whatever you want in the Amida. There are fixed times, fixed words, fixed text, fixed gesture that are not related to the emotion. And those are Seder HaTefillah. And the emotive experience of prayer is related to Tefillah itself. It's fascinating, beautiful. So I think that a poor man speaks with supplication, Tachanunim Yadaber Rash, a poor man speaks with supplication, going back to the second paragraph, is not Seder HaTefillah, but is rather Tefillah. That is the emotive experience of recognizing that the single most important word in the lexicon of prayer is Atah. You, Hashem, are right here with me, whether it's from fear, joy, guilt, thanksgiving, regret. There are many forms of tefillah, and that's why we can now say there are many forms of tefillah, because the truth is, Seder HaTefillah, there's one form. You know, someone mentioned to me once that she was once looking in a conservative show, I think there was a simcha, and that in their prayer books, in Magen Avos, and the Gemara says that anyone who adds any other words into Magen Avos is over. You can't just add whatever you want. So not only do they talk about God protecting Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Magen, the shield, but they add the Imahus in there also. Okay? There is a standard form of prayer. We can't change the standard form of prayer. So in Seder HaTefillah, there is no room for imagination. In Seder HaTefillah, you can't bow in the Amida whenever you want. Why can't I bow by Sim Shalom? I want to bow by Sim Shalom. You have to bow by Modim. You feel different today? Feel like bowing by the Sechazaininu? That's not where you're supposed to bow. There's set order, set time, set text, set, what did he call it?
Gestures.
Thank you. Set gestures. There is no room for freedom of expression in Seder. You want to add Sar Rivka Rachaleya by Magen Avos because you feel like a feminist? You can't do that. That's not how the order of Tefillah is structured. But in the experience of, that's not the order of Seder Tefillah, but in the experience of Tefillah, which is the emotive experience, of course everyone comes different. And of course at the end, if you want to add in your own words, you talk to Boshim, give me the insight and the fortitude of Asari Menu and the Koach HaTefillah of Rivka who stood in the corner. That's different. That's not changing Seder HaTefillah. That's Avodah Shehi Belev. The heart of every person expresses the emotion of Tefillah differently. And that's encouraged because if Hashem is Atah, you, to every single one of us, so your prayers to the Atah of Hashem are not my prayers to the Atah of Hashem, we're not in the exact same place. The words have to be the same. But the emotion must be different. Not it can be different. It must be different. How could two people coming from two different places, one had joy, one had sorrow today, Chalil v'chas, one had grief, one had regret, one had ex nisayin, one had wise, and they're not the same. They're not the same. And therefore, a poor man speaks with supplication. And there are many forms of tefillah. Now we understand why there are many forms of tefillah, not Seder tefillah. Tefillah. Chazal, in fact, mentioned there are 10 terms used to describe tefillah. So I was going to bring the whole Sefer to tell you the 10 terms. Then I realized that instead of making my bag heavier, because it's kind of heavy enough, I'm just going to take a picture from Medrash Devarim Rabbah 2:1 and tell you the 10 forms of tefillah. Okay. Prayer is called by 10 terms. Sha'ava, hysterical outcry. Tse'aka, wordless scream. Ne'aka, groaning. Rina, song. So once again, sometimes it's wordless scream. That's from a place of tsar, from a place of grief, from a place of regret, from a place of sorrow. But then there's Rina, and Rina singing. And generally, we sing when we're in a place of joy. Pigi'a, relentlessly entreating, asking for something over and over again. Bitsur, from tsa'ar, calling out in distress. Kri'a, calling to. Nipul, throwing oneself down. Pilul is the shorsh of tfilah. What we call prayer, tfilah, comes from pilul. And tachanunim, which is begging for grace. So these are the 10 forms of tfilah. So even the fact that Chazal say there are 10 forms of tfilah teaches us that there are different emotive experiences that every individual experiences. Otherwise they would say, there's one form of prayer. Just like everyone has one seder avodah, seder tfilah, so too everybody has one tfilah. But that's not possible. You know, in terms of Rina being one of the modes of prayer, if you will, the Sha'arim B'Tfilah, it's fascinating. When we were in Eretz Yisrael, January 2016 it was, so it was just over 2.5 years ago, and we went to Starah. My husband and I and our eldest son and our daughter took a tour, a day tour. I think it was organized through the OU. It was like to give chizuk to Starah and see what's going on there. They just went through a time period again of rocket barrages. They only have a few seconds to get to the shelters. They said to us, if the siren goes off, you have like 9 seconds to run. And the kids are like, this is what they live with all the time. But what was so impactful to me was one of the things, the whole trip was very impactful. The whole day was important and impactful. But in the middle of one of the roundabouts, traffic circles, the road circles, in the middle of one of the roundabouts in the town of Starah, they have a sculpture. And the sculpture is, I have it on my phone, I could show you the picture after if you want. And the sculpture is a drumist. It's a sculpture playing drums. And you know what it's made out of? Qassam rockets. It's made out of the metal from Qassamim. And I thought that was like unbelievably inspiring. Here you take a symbol of grief and death, potentially death. You take a symbol of an enemy who wants to destroy us, and you take those Qassamim and you change it into Rina. And it's such an inspiration. I have the picture of it, and it's such a hope that we will take what they use to try and kill us and channel it into song. And I just thought it was so poignant and very, very, very powerful and very, very hopeful. There are many forms of tefillah. One of them is Rina. Chazal, in fact, mentioned there are 10 terms used to describe tefillah. We just listed all of the 10. We mentioned one should be engaged in tefillah continually throughout the day. You know, just tonight, my husband was looking for something. He needed a little box, like this big, of little screwdrivers, you know, teeny size. If something needed to be fixed, and he's walking around, he's looking for the box of screwdrivers. He's going to the toolbox, it wasn't there. Upstairs, downstairs, we moved 10 months ago. Sounds like a long time, but every time you need a tool, it doesn't necessarily always get put back in my place, and he can't find it, and I'm, want to serve supper, and I need to come to shir, which is Baruch Hashem prepared, but I need to come to shir, and he's looking over, and I said in my head, you know, Hashem, please help him find the little black box, I promise. And he goes upstairs, and like 2 minutes later, he comes down, and he has it. I said in my head, you see, you ask Hashem, and he found it. It's not such an unusual phenomenon. You should be talking to Hashem throughout the day while you're preparing supper, and you need to get to shir, and the kids are around, and someone's looking for something. Hashem, help us find it. It happened yesterday again. The kids were ready to go to school, and they leave the house very early, Kanainahar, and there was no milk in the front fridge. And I said, maybe there's milk in the back fridge. In my head, I said, please let there be milk, Hashem, in the back fridge. There was milk in the back fridge. So that's something that we can all do. It's something we all should do. The whole day, we should be engaged in tefillah. And that's the emotive experience. The way Rabbi Jonathan Sacks says is so powerful. There's tefillah and Seder HaTfilah, and they're not the same. And we extrapolate and derive further from that. Seder HaTfilah cannot be changed. You can't put in the imahos and the bracha of Malgein Avos. But the experience of prayer, that's different. It is impossible for that kind of tefillah to always be expressed as supplication. There will be some degree of supplication, but you cannot sustain all day, and this is the pasuk from Tehillim, Shifchi kamayim li beich nochach penei Hashem. Pour out your heart like water. How easy is it to pour water? If I pick up a bottle and pour it over, the water comes up very quickly. It should be so easy to spill out your grief and your longing and your joy and your happiness before God. Just like, how hard is it to pour water? If you turn over the bottle, what happens? Water pours out. The Megillah says, Lamentations, you should pour out your heart. We're going to read this on Tisha B'Av. How does Yerushalayim cry? Nebuch. We're still in mourning. Another year. How does she cry? She pours out her heart like water before Hashem. There are particular moments in which Hashem grants one the privilege to have his heart open. So we have to daven for this. And then he can be aware, no, be in fact in the state of pour out your heart as water in the presence of Hashem. At those moments, you feel closest to Hashem. And you pour out your heart before Him. But, except for the rare few, one cannot sustain this lofty state all day. So what the Mechaber, what the author here is saying, is that at times you feel very connected to Hashem. And the emotive experience of prayer is so astute and acute, and your heart feels open. You don't always feel that sense of openness before God, where it's flowing like water. We become involved in the mundane realities of this world. You don't always feel that. So what should you do? And I think that's something we can all relate to. There are times when you feel closer to the Atah of Hashem. And there are times, perhaps, when we get caught up with life that we feel less removed or more distant from the Atah of Hashem. The most practical method is to address Hashem all day. Just speak to Him. And the pasuk says, ready? Wherever I will allow you to mention my name, I will come to you and bless you. So I went to look up where the pasuk was from. It's from Shemos. Okay, I'm going to read you the pasuk inside. I didn't stop yet to ask if anyone has questions or comments. Yes, could you please talk loud? These are driving me crazy that I can't hear.
It's not a question. I just came to mind. I don't know where, but Rav Soloveitchik says a minion praying should sound like rushing water.
A minion praying should sound like rushing water?
Like rushing water.
Rushing, yeah. Right. So rushing, am I saying? Yeah.
Rushing.
Water, yeah. Pouring over, you know, like one person you say it was, you know, how easy it is to pour the water from a bottle. So he compares a minion, many people davening together, that should sound like water rushing over.
Very nice.
Yes.
I never heard that.
Well, let's see if I can find
it. Salvechik says that?
Yeah.
You don't know the source?
No.
If you could find out the source and let me know, I'd like to know.
Like a waterfall instead.
What?
I'm saying like a waterfall, like Niagara Falls, like a waterfall, because there are so many people and so much water coming in. Instead of just from a glass, a sink or.
So the rush, the power of the klal. When one person pours water, so if I pour this over, okay, so it's good. I'm going to get a little bit of water, then it's quickly going to be finished. But if you have many people pouring water at the same time, it's going to have much more force. And in fact, that's a cool analogy, actually, because like by Niagara Falls, if you drive to Toronto, there are power plants that harness electricity, I have no idea how, from the power of the water. So the more water rushing there is, the more powerful it is, which relates back to the analogy of tefillah, Berov Am Hajos Melech. The more people come together, the more powerful are tefillos. Very nice. Anything else? So Rav Shimshon Pinchas, you brought up, so it came to mind. Rav Shimshon Pinchas says that when many people daven together based on the emotive experience, everyone comes from a different place. It's like colors. But Pinchas says it's like all different colors. One person in a dark place, his tefillah is like black at that time. I'm just putting that in quotes. One person can be from joy and his tefillah is light. There's all different hues. This is what Rav Shimshon Pinchas says in his Gates of Prayer. There's all different hues. And all those hues come together to form the crown of Hashem. So if one person's davening by himself, so there's only one color, it's monochromatic. But if many people come together and all those emotions ascend simultaneously, that forms the color, says Rav Pinchas, in the crown of Hashem. Okay, beautiful. Okay, so let me tell you where this pasuk is from. Anything else? Okay, you couldn't find it. Thank you for looking. If you find the source, please let me know. I'd be interested, very interested. Where am I up to? Shemos 20:21, okay? In the second paragraph on page 120. The pasuk says, wherever I will allow you to mention my name, I will come to you and bless you. So I went to look up the pasuk. Okay? And one of my favorite parts. So the pasuk says, it's right at the end of Yisro. Right? Parshas Yisro is Perakit Chas, Perakit Tas, Perakchav. Right at the end of Yisro. Mizbeach Adama Ta'aseli, you shall make a Mizbeach of earth for me. V'zavachta alav es, and you shall bring upon it your olos, and you shall have different sacrifices you should bring. And then the end of the pasuk says, B'chol Hamakom, Asher Azkir Eshemi, this pasuk that Rav Pinchas quote, that the Mechaber quotes, Rav Itamar Schwartz, b'chol ha-makom asher azkir et shemi avo elecha uveirech ticha. In every place where I will mention my name, I will come to you and bless you. So it's in the context, first of all. I wanted to look up the context of the pasuk. It's not only saying wherever I am, I will, wherever my name is mentioned, I will come bless you, but it's also in the context of karbanos, in the context of avoda, in the context of mizbeach. We don't have mizbeach and karbanos anymore, but today we have what takes the place. Tefillah takes the place of sacrifices because there are no more sacrifices, so it's in an appropriate context. Furthermore, ve'im mizbeach avanim ta'aseli. I'm continuing with the next pasuk in Shabbos. If you make a mizbeach of stone, so who remembers the halacha? What's the halacha when it comes to a mizbeach of an altar constructed of stones? So the Chumash says something else about the stones. When you put the stones together.
No metal.
Oh, you can't wave metal over it.
You can't use metal.
Why? What can't you do to the stones?
Cut it.
Lotivna eshen gazis. You can't build them hewn, meaning you can't smooth out the stones. You have to put the stones together however they are. If you wave your sword, your metal, over it, Rashi says, metal, the sword, comes to shorten life. The mizbeach, the sacrifice, the service, avoda, coming close to God, karban, karav, comes to lengthen life. Something which is meant to shorten life should not be waved upon something which is meant to lengthen life. If you bring metal over the stones, it will be profaned. Okay. The last pasuk of that parak is, and you shall not put steps on my mizbeach, you shall not reveal your nakedness before me. So on this pasuk, lo tivne esen gazis, you shall not build them hewn. So it's an interesting question. Why can't you, who cares if the mizbeach has smooth stones? You can't smooth out the stones. I can't smooth out the stones. Who cares? It would be much nicer. In fact, fascinating. Also, when we were in Eretz Yisrael 2.5 years ago, we went to the Israel Museum in Yerushalayim. It's called the Israel Museum. I haven't been there for years and years and years. And there was a mizbeach. I also took a picture of it. And there's a mizbeach there. There's an altar that was excavated from the south in Israel. And it has hewn cut stones, and the sign even says it is a contradiction to the verse from the Torah that forbids you from cutting the stones. In other words, it was not a kosher mizbeach. I don't know if it was a mizbeach for avodah zarah. It was not a kosher mizbeach. The stones were cut. It was fascinating to see it right there in front of you. What are you saying at the end? You saw it?
No, there are two museums. One is the Israel Museum, and right before you go to Israel...
They're driving me crazy. I can't stand
that. There are two museums.
No, wait. You're not driving me crazy. My hearing's driving me crazy. I said this is driving me crazy. Khalila. I didn't mean anyone at the table. I meant me. Go.
Before you go into the Israel Museum, there's a museum a little bit off to the right that's called the Biblical Museum.
Or is it not part of the Israel Museum?
No, no. I don't know. Technically, I don't know. But it's two.
It's something in the Israel Museum?
There is another museum before you hit the Israel Museum called the Biblical Museum.
Hmm. And?
Where they
have
the scrolls.
So
just,
not
I don't know.
That's part of the Israel Museum.
I don't know. Let's go. I have not been there for years and years, mamish years, so we decided to go. And one of the things I saw, and I took a picture of it, is this mizbeach. And when the stones are cut, it fits perfectly. Imagine Lego or magma tiles or click. So everything is smooth. So it's very nice, but it's not kosher. That's not what the Torah says. So you brought up Rav Salvechik, so I'm going to bring up Rav Salvechik. You shouldn't build a mizbeach from cut out smooth stones. What's the connection to our learning? The pasuk right before this tells us, b'chol makom asher avo eleicha, b'chol makom asher azker eshmi avo eleicha uverachticha, right away, and when you make a mizbeach, an altar of stones. So let's look at the context of which this pasuk, in which our mechaber, the author, quotes, occurs. You should build a mizbeach from unsmooth stones, uneven sizes. Don't cut them. It's a very fascinating law, a very fascinating mitzvah, lo taseh, prohibitive mitzvah. What's the seichel? What's the lesson that the Torah said you can't build from cut stones? Take the stones as they are, even if it's not so nice. Why? Now imagine what that means. You can't cut the stone. So when the stone comes out of the ground, it's not so uniform in size. How's it going to look? Messy, haphazard. This one will be smaller, this one will be bigger, this one will be more rounded, this one will be more square, more rectangle. So it'll look very haphazard. Why? The Mizbeach, the altar, is a symbol of kapara, atonement for Bnei Yisra. The Mizbeach is a symbol of atonement for the kapara. The Hashem, in his compassion, the Ramban to Vayirka 1:9, Hashem in his compassion takes an animal instead of me. But the Ramban writes that when the animal is brought on the Mizbeach, the person should think, it's my legs that went to sin. It's my hands that did the Avera. It's my innards that desired. It's me. It's not the animal. God in his compassion, says the Ramban, the Ribbon Sha'olam, takes a sacrifice. It brings to mind when we shlag kaparos. Those kaparasi. Those chalafasi. Those tarnagol. Yelech lemisar. Those hakesof. Yelech God takes something instead of us. But the Mizbeach itself is a symbol of kapara, kippur, atonement, of teshuva, repentance, vidui, confession. On the Mizbeach, they bring a lot of karbanos. And if somebody was makriv a karban on the Mizbeach, if he brought a sacrifice on the altar, he has to be mitvada. He has to say confession on the karban. The Mizbeach is a symbol for somebody's cheshbon ha-nefesh. The altar is a symbol for my accounting of my soul. The entire soul has to do teshuva. The vidui doesn't just say chatasi when we clap al-chei. You don't just say chatasi. That's no kuntz. That's nothing. That's no godless. That's no meaning. That's no service to just pay lip service to the affair of kapara and teshuva. The Jewish vidui says, a person realizes when he sins, he's at fault because he failed. I think we said last week, did we say last week here? That chatasi, this is where it's from. This is translated, adapted from the Yiddish. This was given in 1965 in Yiddish. This is adapted. The Jewish vidui, when a person recites confession over the animal that is brought on the Mizbeach, on the altar, he's not just saying chatasi when we clap al chay. It's not just to say chatasi. It's to realize he sinned and he failed and he's at fault, because chatasi in Hebrew does not mean I sinned. It means I failed. In Hebrew, yachta asa matara means if one shoots, he doesn't find the matara, the point, so he missed the mark. He failed. So what does this have to do with uncaught stones? If the Mizbeach is a symbol, if the altar is a symbol of kapara, of atonement, of vidui, of confession, of chatasi, I failed. So why can't you smooth out the stones? Because when one says vidui, there's another aspect. A person cannot rationalize himself when he says vidui. You can't come before the Ribbono Shel Olam and say, you know, Ribbono Shel Olam, I sinned. But it was hard. Da'agasa parnasa, I was worried about parnasa. I have other tzaros, other problems. The Yetzer Hara, my evil inclination is so strong. I'm weak, so I'm a male, I sinned. So what is that? If you come before the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you want to do this process of kapara, you want to go through the process of atonement, and teshuva, and vidui, and confession. I'm going to read it again. A person cannot say, chatasi, I sinned, but you know, but Ribbono Shel Olam, it was hard. Da'agasa parnasa, other tzaros, the Yetzer is strong. I'm weak, I'm a male, I sinned. We can't look for mitigating or extenuating circumstances. This we can't look for. Listen to this next line. Because if a Jew wants to be melamed schus upon himself as he's saying vidui, it's not vidui. It's rationalization. It's worthless. I'm going to say it again and translate. If a Jew wants to already be melamed chus, give himself the benefit of the doubt, you're standing before the Ribbono Shel Olam. Shefchi kamayim libech nochach pnei Hashem. You're pouring out your heart like water. The emotive experience of prayer. You're bringing the karban, your makriv, karban, karav. It's the avoda of a lifetime. And you clap al chay. And while you're clapping, you say, oh, but, efes. Ki aza aretz kasha. The people of the land are harsh. God, my yetzer are so strong. Efas. And there are mitigating circumstances. So the Rav says, if a Jew wants to be melamed zchus on himself, if he's giving himself the benefit of the doubt while he's saying vidui, while he's saying confession, so that's not a vidui, it's rationalization. It's worthless. Vidui is accusation. And a person has to have strength to accuse himself. And this is one of the greatest challenges. It's not somebody else accusing me. I have to be self-aware enough to know what I did. Know I am wrong. Know I sinned. Not to be melamed zchus while I'm clapping al chait. Ashamnu baganu, but it was very hard. Bro, ashamnu baganu, pasha. What does it have to do with the Mizbeach? I love this far. I was so excited when I was preparing and I looked up the pasuk and I saw the context. I love this form. I'm talking to myself. Therefore, the Mizbeach, which is a symbol of kapara and vidui, atonement and confession, must be built from natural, primitive stones, avanim shlemos, exactly how they were dug out of the ground. Not cut, no tools. Lo tivna eshen gazi. Why? It shouldn't be smooth. Because the Mizbeach is a symbol of who? Myself. The Mizbeach is a symbol of vidui. And when one comes with vidui, with hachatas, with confession, with a sin offering, before the Ribbono Shalom, you can't smooth yourself out. You have to stand before the Ribbono Shel Olam, no different than you really are. Lo tivne eshen gazi. Don't build from smooth stones. Leave them natural, not cut. The stones weren't so nice, continues Rav Salavitcher. It's 1965 in Yiddish. They could have been cut. They could have been worked on. All type of implements. Make them smooth. It could have been a beautiful Mizbeach. I'm adding in for 2018. Lego, clicks, magnetos. It would have been beautiful. It would have been perfect. A lot nicer. But we can't do that. Because the Mizbeach is what a person has to do to himself. And if you smooth out the Mizbeach, the entire inyan of Mizbeach is lost. If you go and you mamela cut the stones, then the whole inyan of kapara, atonement, the whole inyan of vidui, confession, the whole inyan, matter, the whole matter of the altar is lost. The Mizbeach is a mirror of the person. The person sinned. The person needs to see his own reflection. Ki charbecha hainafta Allah, if you wave the sword over it, you profane the Mizbeach. A sword smooths things out. And when you come before the Mizbeach, listen to this, please. Don't smooth yourself out when you bring your korban chatas, when you bring your sin offering, because you did something wrong. I did something wrong. I know I did something wrong. But the minute I bring the offering, the minute I'm reciting the vidui, I take the knife, the sword, and I start to make it all beautiful and all perfect. And I change the whole image of what it was. So that's as the Rav. That's not vidui, that's not kapara, that's rationalization. That's malamit chus upon yourself. The sword is a symbol of smoothing, and this you may not do, because if you do that, your korban's not accepted. And that's why the Mizbeach can't be smooth. The Mizbeach cannot be gazi, smooth, because you have to stand before Hashem pashot, simply, without chachmas, without, how do you pronounce this word?
Guile.
Guile? You have to stand before the Ribbono Shel Olam without chachmas, without guile, with all your blemishes. That's the Jewish outlook. So what does it have to do with? It'll change how you read Parshas Yisro every single year. Or anytime you open up and see where you are at the end of the Parsha. So the pasuk immediately, the words, the half pasuk, the phrase immediately before this pasuk, by the way, for your own reference, it's Parak Chav, Pasuk Chav Beis in Shabbos. I'm just letting you know the source, right at the end of Yisro. The pasuk immediately before telling you that you can't make the Mizbeach smooth says, Bechol ha-makom asher azkir eshemi avo elach uverach ticha. Now we could understand it so beautifully. Of course, if you stand pasha, exactly how you are, I failed. I need help. Hashem, help me the next time. Help me recuperate. Help me be better. Help me grow. Not to be malamed schus on myself like I'm smooth. Hashem, I'm not smooth. The pieces don't fit together so nicely. The stones are haphazard. They're different sizes. They're different shapes. Look at this Mizbeach. It could be much more perfect. But God doesn't want to see as perfected, fake as you are. And if you can do that to yourself, if the person could make himself into a Mizbeach, which is not smooth, then, b'chol ha-makom asher azkir eshemi avo elecha uveirach ticha. Of course he will come bless you. Because what does Ribbono Shel Olam want? The heart. Shivchi kamayim libeich. He wants the heart of the Jew to be poured out before him, naturally, water, natural. The elements as they're taken out of the ground. And if we can accomplish this, if we could be emistic with ourselves, if I could be emistic with myself, then of course, b'chol ha-makom asher azkir eshemi avo elecha uveirach ticha, we will be zochet to so much bracha with the realization of who we really are, the karban that we bring, that we're makriv, the sacrifice that we bring to come close to God helps us go through the process of kapara, atonement, if the vidui is vidui and not rationalization. if we can enhance and strengthen and repair our relationship from the point of where I failed, Chatasi, then Hashem says, so wherever the name of Hashem is mentioned, I will come to you and I will bless you. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Any questions or comments? Yes. You said something?
No.
I'm not going to hear, so Esther's just going to help me.
Very nice. The order because we heard this song, but there were a couple of rationalizations.
Very nice.
And
he lost everything.
And Zemer HaMelech just said Chatasi.
Beautiful. Very, very nice. Beautiful. Beautiful. When we're able to have the self-realization to accuse ourselves, to enhance and repair our relationship with the Baruch Hashem, it brings the biggest reward, Malchus Beis David. And when we're not able to, and Mamela is Malam Yitzchus, then we can, Rachman and Slan, lose everything. Beautiful. Beautiful. Someone said something.
Me.
Yes.
I don't know whether I'll repeat it accurately, but I was listening to headlines. Anybody? Okay. This is Rabbi David Lichtenstein.
Headlines.
It's a, I don't know what it is.
An
app.
1 second. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam.
Ooh!
One second.
So anyhow, he said
that wasn't scripted.
About Shavuos.
Okay, let's try again.
Commented, how come?
Wait, said, start again.
This is from headlines, and he was talking about Shavuos, and he commented, if you think about it, why is Shavuos celebrated then? The luchos were broken. Why are you celebrating something at the whole eagle, the whole everything? Why are you celebrating that?
What do you mean, why are you celebrating
that? Why are you celebrating at that time? When the luchos were broken, when you have the egel, when it wasn't a good time.
The luchos were broken on Shivas Arba Tammuz. We're coming up to Shivas Arba Tammuz.
It wasn't when they got the matzah.
It was related.
It was related. Why not later?
It was 40 days before we got the Torah, and then the luchos were broken 40 days later.
Right, but why not celebrate when we got the second luchos and we kept them,
okay,
so to speak?
Fine. Now I understand, so understand the question.
Right.
So you mean why celebrate the first luchos if the first luchos ultimately became the Shivrei luchos, the broken luchos, which represents him, which is Shivas Arba Tammuz? Okay.
Right. Which, and the point being to recognize that our imperfections,
the value in being broken.
Exactly.
Very nice. Beautiful. It relates beautifully to recognize the value in being broken. In fact, the Shivrei Luchos were kept in the Aron. And there were two Aronos, one that went out to Machana, the war, and one that stayed in the Mishkan. But very, very nice. The Shivrei Luchos were not discarded. And they were kept. Beautiful. Which teaches us the value of being broken. Only if, there's a big caveat, only if you can use that as impetus for growth. If you allow the Yetzer Hara to... That's why you need the Shivrei Luchos and the whole Luchos. And that's why the whole Luchos followed the Shivrei Luchos. Based on what you're saying. It's only positive to recognize you're broken. Not to be Malamei Tzchus upon yourself. To recognize you're broken if you can use it as an impotence for Karban, Karav. To become close once again to the Ata of Hashem. But if you allow the Yetzer Hara to come along and say you're so S-T-U-P-I-D and you're so worthless and you're so bad and you're so broken and you can never move from the Shivrei Luchos, the broken tablets, to the whole Luchos Shlemos, then it's very dangerous. There must be the recognition that right now I failed. We have to all be able to say I failed. I spoke Lashon Hara, Pasha. So if I spoke Lashon Hara, I cannot come before God and say, oh, I need to be Malam Yitzchus, I had a Yitzhara, I had Daga Sapranasa. I'm just quoting the Rav here. I had Daga Sapranasa, I had a Yitzhara, I had other tzars. I was compelled to speak Lashon Hara. You can't do that. I spoke Lashon Hara, Pasha, I'm not smooth. But only if you could use it as an impetus for Kabbalah al Ha'asid, for change in the future, for betterment. If I allow it to pull me down, that's the biggest, the Bali Musar speak about this. The thing the Yetzer Hara desires most is not sin. It's the disconnect from God that follows sin. That's the most dangerous. Man is mortal. It's almost built into the fabric of creation that Isha and Adam are going to sin. What happens after? Adam tries to hide. Oh, talking about being melamed tzchus upon yourself. Excuse me. Ayaka. Oh, as kol chashamati begon, I heard you coming, I'm naked, I'm afraid. What should he have done? I did the wrong thing. It's not the Bali Musar say sin that's the problem. I mean, it is a problem. Please don't take this as an endorsement of Chatasi. But it's almost, the Gemara says, there's only four who never sinned. Four who died with the advice of the Nachash. It's almost inevitable that at some point in life, I'm going to be affected by sin. So the Bali Musar say, it's what happens after. And the Shivrei Luchos are only useful if I can ensure the Kabbalah of the new Luchos, which are Hol and Shalim. Beautiful. Where's my watch? Thank you. I know you moved it to save me. Thank you. Really to save my watch. Let's go. We should always be able to use the Gashmas for Ruchnias. Where am I up to? I'm up to the top. The Pasuk says, wherever I will allow you to mention my name, we just spoke about this, I will come to you and bless you. And I hope we have a much deeper understanding now of this particular Pasuk. When you say to Hashem, you, we quoted Rabbi Sachs, but we also quoted Rav Gifter, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. You, so Hashem comes. That's the most important word that Rav Gifter to his Talmidim in the Bracha. Baruch, not blessed. Ata, Ata, you, not HaMelech. The mention of Hashem's name means you really want to speak to him. And that is your true inner will. And then he will come to you. Because Hashem is right next to you. You can relate him, as the Mesillas Yesharim says, as a man speaks to his friend. That's also from Shemos in the aftermath of the Ega. It will be as if you're requesting from a family member, please bring me the object, someone so close to you. Could you do that for me? And this way, speak naturally to Hashem. If he's you, he's not removed, it's not distant, it's someone who's there, right there with you. I wish to learn. Help me understand. I wish to pray. Daven for tefillah. I'm going to walk on the city street. Shmir Seinayim, please protect my eyes. What a challenge that is in our summer months. May God save us. Rahman al-Tzlan. Please protect my eyes from seeing anything forbidden. Please help me get from place A to place B safely. Sometimes when I turn onto my block, I'm already on my block. I say, thank you, Hashem, for getting me to the street safely. Please help me help get into the driveway safely. Should I take it for granted that I'm going to get down the block safely? From the stop sign to my house? From these issues and for all of the issues that trouble you, should speak to your Creator. So we're finishing up just with one thought from Hani Machlis, Allah HaShalom, and then Ezra Hashem, we will try and apply what we learned this week to our lives. 448. 1 second, please. Just want to end with one nakuda about honey. Okay. Hani illustrated the balance of effort and prayer with a story. We don't have the best of locks on the doors, and we don't have bars on some of the windows. Anyone who either was zocha to know or experience her, I was not, or who was zocha to know her a little bit through her sefer, knows that they practically didn't lock anything, and it was basically a free-for-all for everyone. When my children are afraid of robberies, I tell them, daven to Hashem, that everything should be safe. I have a neighbor, she had a robbery, and I have siblings. All the jewelry was taken by the cleaning ladies, and we have so many people in the house, and I tell my kids, because there's constantly people there, just daven that your things should be safe. So one of my daughters had a gold bracelet from my mother. She put it in a box, inside another box, inside a bag, and she hid it under her bed. She's talking about the balance between hishtadlus and tefillah. How much? What's more important? Hishtadlus or tefillah? Right? The preceding tells us that most people think you have to do maximum hishtadlus, and after you do all that hishtadlus, you daven. To Hani, it was the opposite. You do all that tefillah, and you do a little bit of hishtadlus. Now, whatever daughter said, a gold bracelet from Hani's mother, she put in a box, inside a bag, under her bed, and someone took it. And afterwards, she said to me, I didn't listen to you. When I hid it, I said, now nobody's going to get it. And I didn't say, Hashem, please watch over it. Rabbi Nachman says, if you have a scary thought, the only reason Hashem gives it to you is so you shall turn it into prayer. So if you're afraid, this is in gray, that means it's her teachings verbatim. If I'm afraid someone's going to break into the house, we should say, Hashem, keep my house safe. Nobody should ever break in. I should always be safe in my house. Whether my door is open, whether it's locked, they should be safe. My kids should be safe. My house should be safe. When you've said enough prayer, said Hani, then you won't have fear anymore. So Rabbi Nachman explains that the fear should be an impetus for tefillah. Once again, this aspect of karav, karban, coming close to Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay. So we should be zocha that we should have a Chodesh Tov. Maybe Mashiach could come. He could come. But Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi met Melech Mashiach in the marketplace, the Gemara. And he said to Melech Mashiach, when are you coming? So Melech Mashiach said, Hayom. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, Hayom? Today? So the Melech Mashiach said, yes, Hayom im bekol sishmu. I'm coming today if you listen to Hashem's voice. So Alvai, we should be zocher to it immediately in our days. Zimalei Hashem, kol mishalus libenu. The Tova, may God answer all the prayers of our heart for good. Amen, v'amen. I wish you all a very special Chodesh Tova, Besuras Tovas, and Simcha. Thank you, everyone.